It's often the case that when there's a new administration in the White House, the appointees of the previous administration move on. Last month, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions asked the last of the Obama-appointed U.S. attorneys to resign. That included Florence Nakakuni, the U.S. attorney for the District of Hawaii. She had been Hawaii's first female U.S. attorney, nominated by President Obama after a 24-year career as a federal prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Florence Nakakuni is with us today in our studio. Good to see you.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
That was a heck of an abrupt end to a very long run. Were you expecting that?
Well, I was expecting to go. That always happens with a new administration.
But you've been through so many administrations.
Oh yes, except I was a line assistant or mere supervisor. So the presidential appointees are expected to leave. But one would have hoped that we would have gotten a little more notice. It was very disruptive, not just for the attorneys themselves, but for the offices.
The way it was done was inelegant, true. You might have been expecting it, but as now you are looking at the fact that none of these people, you included, have been replaced by the Trump administration, what happens now?
Well, I hope that the president nominates new U.S. attorneys and that they get confirmed. And Mr. Sessions obviously has a lot of plans. He's bound to make some pretty sweeping changes, I think. And when you do that as the attorney general, I would think you'd want your team in place. But then again, I can't predict what he's going to do.
Unpredictable has been one of the words used over and over again about this administration. As you look at policy versus law, given some of the issues that you've seen come down the pike, many of the ones that we've been talking about a lot over the last couple of months, immigration, looking at medical marijuana, other things, I want to take a few of those apart with you. With immigration, obviously that's a high priority for the Trump administration. For us out here on a set of islands, very different than California, but what do you think happens here, given the fact that, you know, the law on this really hasn't changed?
Well, the law has not changed in the 100 days that the Trump administration has been in power. But what has changed are enforcement priorities for the agencies, certainly for Homeland Security and for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, and so have policies. So, for example, in immigration, under the Obama administration, if law enforcement came across someone who had overstayed on a tourist visa or a student visa without anything more, that person would not be picked up for deportation. Under the current administration, that person will be picked up. And that's consistent with what Mr. Sessions has said about we will begin removing illegal immigrants because they are illegal. They have no legal status to be here once they overstay their visas.
The idea that law hasn't changed is also part of another issue, which has to do with mandatory minimums in drug cases. What has been the difference, as you've seen it under the Obama administration here in Hawaii, and what you see happening with changes of policy?
Okay, this is what I expect. The policy under the Obama administration for mandatory minimum terms in drug cases was set in 2013 by then Attorney General Eric Holder. And what he did was directed federal prosecutors to avoid seeking the mandatory minimum sentences for low-level, nonviolent drug defendants.
Keeping them out of prison.
Not necessarily. What he meant was don't charge them with the mandatory minimum charges, but you can charge them with something else. And we did. But what I guess I should say is this new administration has not yet changed that. I think Mr. Sessions is waiting to have more of his team come on board because that would be a huge policy change. And the policy will be, oh, yes, you do have to charge the mandatory minimum sentences.
Which could, in fact, bring a lot more people into the prison system, wouldn't it?
It could.
I mean, we talk so much about overcrowding.
Well, Mr. Sessions, I think, will have to start building more prisons.
And that's a whole other subject we could talk an hour about easily. But I want to move on with you about something that we've been dealing with for a very long time in Hawaii, medical marijuana. We've had a law on the books for such a long time now. We're finally getting dispensaries. But Jeff Sessions isn't exactly a big supporter of medical marijuana.
Well, actually, Jeff Sessions hates marijuana.
Well, there you go. I'd let you say that.
Let's see. So 30 states, including Hawaii and the District of Columbia, have legalized medical marijuana. And these are state-driven initiatives. The Obama administration had nothing to do with that. So I'm not sure what Mr. Sessions will do about medical marijuana, but I'm sure he'll do something.
But in the national trends that we're seeing, where other states are also considering doing the same thing, looking at being able to decriminalize it, some of them legalizing it, that still is thwarting what the federal government says when it looks at marijuana on the Schedule I.
I agree with everything that you've said. I'm not sure what his response will be. I mean, he has so many areas. I mean, he is his key areas are immigration, violent crime, drugs.
Okay, so let's move off to violent crime. He seems to say that drug trafficking and violent crime are equal to each other. They go together. Frequently, they do. Given, though, that we have the type of gun laws that we have in Hawaii, how much of an issue is this for us as opposed to if you were pick a state in the United States?
He does equate drug trafficking with violent crime, and that's true in a lot of large cities. But fortunately for us in Honolulu, in Hawaii, it's not true because of Hawaii's strict gun laws. So as opposed to a large city like New Orleans, in a state with the least restrictive gun laws. So in my view, if Mr. Sessions is really serious about reducing violent crime in the U.S., then he and the other Republicans should consider sensible gun laws at all levels, local, state, and federal, and also expanding background checks for all gun sales. But I really doubt that any of this will happen.
Looking at civil rights, we've had a lot of conversation, a lot of action. People were saying that, you know, police departments have had a real rough go of it, and that we have to do more to be able. We're going to talk to a young man later today about justice reform, but at all levels, looking at that. What do we do when we see this conflagration of emotion surrounding civil rights, as well as what's happening in other cities? Clearly, we're not Baltimore, but for Hawaii, we've taken this on in a big way, too. What do you see happening with Hawaii and other states vis-a-vis civil rights and our play into that in a place where we think that civil rights are so important?
Well, you know, the one area in civil rights that I've always followed closely, because I'm a former law enforcement officer, is the work with police departments. And Jeff Sessions has said the Department of Justice has been too tough on police departments, right? And to him, he believes that aligning police practices with the U.S. Constitution has resulted in compromised public safety and that we've thrown police officers under the bus. But that's not true at all. In fact, the reforms that the Department of Justice works out with these jurisdictions is not imposed by the department. These are negotiated with the local police departments, the local elected officials, local police unions and officers. And at the end of the Obama administration, there are around 24 matters involving police departments and sheriff's departments around the country. And Jeff Sessions should just let the people in the Department of Justice working on these areas do their jobs.
How likely do you think that will actually be?
Well, judging from what he's already done regarding the Baltimore matter, unlikely. I don't know how much you can undo, because in places where there are consent decrees in place, he can't unilaterally withdraw. It's under the supervision of a United States District Court.
So in general, I wish we had time to talk about many of the other issues that you see as potentially problematic with this change. But in general, if you had to wrap this up for Hawaii versus the rest of the country, is there something that you think that we particularly have to pay attention to?
Well, since we haven't talked about it, the environment. I think that's really important. The administration is proposing to cut EPA's budget by 31% and eliminating a quarter of their jobs. And at the federal level, actually fewer than 1% of the cases are handled criminally, which means most of the cases are handled administratively by EPA. So this means that with cuts, and I don't know how much of that there will be, it's going to be tougher protecting our environment. And one area that we're going to take a hit potentially is the Clean Water Act. They want to water that down. What Mr. Trump wants to do is he doesn't want to regulate rivers, lakes, and streams that flow into the ocean. And being that we're an island, the ocean is so important to our way of life and our tourist-driven economy, that's going to be a problem.
I want to thank you and wish we had more time, and maybe we'll be able to do that more in future when we're not
great
caught into a pledge drive situation.
Yes.
But thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for inviting me.
Florence Nakakuni served as U.S. Attorney for the District of Hawaii from September 30th, 2009 until abruptly on March 10th, 2017. She was Hawaii's first female U.S. attorney.
Support for The Conversation comes from Mattson, in appreciation of HPR's local public affairs programming. Since 1882, working to support Hawaii's economy and communities. Mattson.com.